We're gonna never get a star tonight.
Should I talk with my big voice?
Yeah.
What?
Big voice.
I'm starting. Everybody listen.
491.
One. Well-being goes far beyond relieving immediate health problems. For you can have a healthy body and a lack of well-being, or have an unhealthy body and possess wondrous well-being. What are you seeking? Certainly, you haven't come this far seeking a quick treatment for relief of symptoms so you can return to your life as usual, have you? Well, you certainly know what that is like, don't you? For that is the self and life you are outpicturing as pains, illnesses, dysfunctions, afflictions, and burdens. Is that what you want to continue? 2. Creating the open, honest, intimate well-being you truly desire begins with relieving your intense, almost desperate attachment to undesirable, unenhancing beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, and behaviors. Do not blame yourself or others, or the environment for the pains, hurts, illnesses, dysfunctions, and difficulties in your body and life. For if you are ill, that is because you are thinking, acting, feeling, and living that way. What is it all about? How do these problems and difficulties outpicture your personal life and relationships? What is happening in your life? Do you really know? How are these problems and illnesses showing you what is happening and how you are living yourself in life? And if your illnesses soon follow or precede a business or personal difficulty or setback or failure, a dilemma or an unmanageable situation, know that you chose those problems as well. For only you can decide to build or destroy your dreams, your health and well-being, or the self and life you truly desire. Whatever your problems in life, if you blame yourself, you are ailing, but when you blame no one, you are healing. What are you willing to give up to resolve your pains, problems, and difficulties, to cure your illnesses and live an emergent new self and life? Assuming you have decided on a lasting healing, a curing of the underlying problems, a living healing, will you also create attitudes of healthy, fulfilling, and truly enriching living? Will you give up your habit of living your pains and illnesses and undesirable attitudes, emotions, and feelings? All of what you thought protected you from others, will you stop blaming and accusing others, events, or conditions? Are you willing to give up resentments, guilts, fears, and anxieties and quit blaming others? Will you stop struggling to control individuals and events? Are you willing to give up struggling to fulfill self-indulgent desires and seeking excessive satisfaction and give yourself a new life self for health, wealth, and happiness? Are you willing to give up expecting to get from others and begin giving to them and to yourself? What you are actually willing to give up is the only real measure of what you are willing to do to heal yourself, gain health and well-being, and live a happy and fulfilling self and life. 4. For example, if asked whether in order to heal yourself you would be forgiving, you would probably answer, "Sure, I'll try." But if asked whether you would give up your anger and judgments and your habit of blaming others and events for your own self and life and difficulties, you will most likely hesitate, which indicates you are not willing to give up your anger and judgments and self-destructive habits, even to heal your afflictions. You are not perfect, so be willing to change even the attitudes, emotions, beliefs, and habits which have been your faithful servants for years. Would you rather have health and a finer life, or your own way? 5. Your problems and illnesses today reveal your answer to this previous question. What will you now choose? In order to work toward a new self and life of health and well-being and happiness, you must put your new beliefs and emergent awarenesses these insights, discoveries, and expressions actively into your life. It's not enough to just understand and speak of these things. You must live them. Recognize that your old beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions are expressing through problems and illness. So review these carefully without judging and select only the wisest and choicest ones to continue and integrate into your new self and life. These understandings and your new emergent self and life will guide you to finer choices and extraordinary opportunities. And that's the end of that one.
It is.
We don't read the color pages. We don't need to.
It's okay. Pretty straightforward.
We're carrying on. Open, honest, intimate relationships.
Yep.
Open, honest, intimate relationships. One. Would you rather have an intimate partner or be the reason you have intimate relationships? Do you feel deeply that something in yourself and life and relationship is fundamentally wrong, but you don't actually know what it is, what that is? And though you assert daily that everything is all right, except for, of course, your doubts and occasional binges, your angers and frustrations, your emotional discomforts, chronic illnesses, money problems, and difficulties in your personal relationship, don't these exceptions reveal that something is fundamentally wrong? Do you live with such difficulties, illnesses, and relationships merely because you cannot or will not see the truth and significance of yourself and life and these exceptions? Are your beliefs and actions filled with errors and your relationships with denials and distrust and with false awarenesses? Are you creating and maintaining illusions and deceptive images about yourself and life, about another person and your relationship? What are those illusions and images? Do you know? And why have you created and maintained them? What do they offer you? Can you be happy with a relationship based on such illusions and images? 2. Do you have so much of your time and life invested in your problem self and life and personal relationships that you are fearful of looking too deeply and clearly? Is it that you have too much to lose and not enough to gain? Could it be that your constant struggles and dissatisfactions are less fearful than the thought of what you might find out about yourself and life and relationships and have to change if you look deeply? Or do you actually believe those matters and conditions will change if you ignore them and continue your self and life as usual? Or maybe you feel there is a lesson for you to learn in all of this. 3. Do you really believe that your self and life and relationships are not exactly what you have chosen and lived? That these matters are essentially exactly what you have chosen and lived? That these matters are essentially as others, events, circumstances, and this environment permit and have created for you? 4. Whether or not you realize it, life can only fulfill and has always and only fulfilled the beliefs, ideals, and true expectations you maintained and acted upon. Therefore, if you are having problems with your relationships, do not blame life. If you want your relationships to be filled with happiness and well-being, with ever-expanding attitudes and emotions, and enriching fulfillment and trust and love, and to remain free of judgments and accusations, then you must live and offer these. 5. If you are tired of being in and struggling with judgmental, accusative, aggressive, or indifferent relationships, but feel that, in general, others are too self-concerned and not to be completely trusted, then you are locked in endless struggles with and against yourself. For you have never been in, nor will you ever be in, relationships gaining your desires. Your relationships are within you, fulfilling your beliefs and choices. Are your beliefs and choices and actions as you truly desire? 6. And if you feel strongly bound to another person by karma or a common fate, by a sense of undefined meaning and purpose, by personal lonelinesses, or as soulmates, you should consider a new view of yourself in this relationship. For there are no shadow aspects of your relationships. Everything is and will be clearly revealed. Nothing is ever hidden. Is your own self-image and the image you have of your partner so fixed?
And the image you have of your partner. Did you say image on
that?
Mine says mage.
Mine says mage too, but I guess I read it. I figured it's supposed to say image.
Maybe, but just to help her out with
it. We got into the kitchen.
Missy, you got that on page 496, second line?
Mage. 496. What number are we on?
We're on 6.
Number 6. Top of the page.
The mage.
Second line and the mage.
Okay, got it. What is the correct word? Image.
Good. Is your own self-image and the image you have of your partner so fixed that you cannot live a flexible, ever-changing relationship easily and with trust and confidence without blaming and accusing? Have you secretly enclosed yourself and an intimate other into unchanging ways of believing and thinking and seeing and experiencing? Into set ways of living and being? Into unbending ways of reacting and responding? Does it seem that everything you have tried or considered has never really inspired or satisfied you, or truly inspired another? Is it possible you are setting yourself up not to be satisfied or content in any relationship? 7. Be careful not to fill your personal relationship with petty or meaningless activities, for that will undoubtedly fill yourself in relationship with a sense of meaninglessness. Focus your attention, relationship, and efforts on living both persons' desires to the fullest at every moment, and stop struggling to create the future you believe should be. Remember what is pleasant and desirable in your relationship far more easily and fully light than those things that are unhappy or hurtful or undesirable, which is natural as it should be.
It's a missing word, I think.
What's that?
I think it's a missing word. Remember what is pleasant and desirable in your relationship far more easily and fully light than those things that are unhappy or hurtful? Is it you remember what is pleasant? I think so.
Well, stop struggling to create the future, and it's giving instructions. Stop struggling to create the future you believe.
Right.
Remember what is pleasant and desirable in your relationship far more easily. And then the fully light is confusing.
Yeah.
Remember what is pleasant and desirable in your relationship far more easily and fully liked than those things that are unhappy or hurtful or undesirable.
Yeah, okay. So it's all good. Which is natural as it should be. Why is surprising, especially
why is it surprising?
Especially considering the effort involved, is the amount of time and life and emotion put into remembering unpleasant events, circumstances, words, and actions. What might that be revealing? Maybe you don't really want this relationship. 8. Do you tend to lessen or minimize your own understandings and abilities to suit another? Have you developed And are you living with an unreasonable sense of modesty and unworthiness? An exaggerated or unrealistic sense of self-importance? Or the importance of another's presence in your life? Do you, in your personal relationship, feel yourself somewhat like a leaf blown around by the unpredictable attitudes and actions of your partner? Or do you have a secret desire to triumph over your partner and others? Or over events and circumstances? How are these desires expressed in your life and relationships? Is it wise to continue these feelings and desires and the words and actions they pawn?
Spawn.
All such attitudes, emotions, and actions, or similar feelings and behaviors, will quickly destroy an open, honest, intimate relationship. 9. Do you tend to be helter-skelter in dealing with physical and emotional problems? Why? What do you gain from such feelings and actions? Could it be that you are avoiding something about yourself? What might that be? All such actions keep you from gaining any clear insight into the problems in your relationship and making resolving them far more difficult. Being caught up in your attempts to limit and confine another keeps you from moving ahead in your life. Are you and are your personal relationships and communication true and reliable and worth keeping that you are willing to sacrifice or abandon yourself? And all open, honest, intimate relationships and communication with yourself and others, and lose the life and partner and relationship you say you desire? 4. Believe it or not, your only real, open, honest, intimate relationship must be with yourself. And as far as we at the Life Care Center are concerned, with your eternal, abiding self and life.
Do you want to change that to emergent?
I did.
Nothing matters as much or as expansively as your relationship with your abiding self and life. All judgments destroy intimacy. Do you really believe you can have the enriching, fulfilling, and satisfying self and life you desire without intimacy with yourself or another? Think deeply and carefully about this. 10. Are you willing to reconsider and change your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions about close personal relationships, about attracting and maintaining truly desirable relationships, about living more fully, meaningfully, and happily in your relationships without judgments?
Did you say this eternal abiding self is supposed to be different?
I think it was Life Care Center's Emergent Life Center. Is that what you said, Pat?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to
read it off at the Life Care Center. I'm going to say somebody else. Emergent Life Center.
Somebody else.
She's declaring another.
I'm declaring another reader. Who's up?
It's tangled in my feet.
Oh, what a tangled one.
The big words talk before 98.
That's what I was worried about. Welcome to new ideas and to finer, more enriching and fulfilling relationships. Woo. Since you are reading this portion of the Emergent Life book, we assume you are interested in having, preparing yourself for, or expanding your present union to an open, honest, intimate relationship. So let's see what such a desirable relationship looks like to you. Define openness. What does being open in a deeply personal relationship mean to you? Why do you want this?
And of course, you realize this is a workbook, and these are questions that you would be working with these individuals.
Oh, yeah.
Define honesty. What does, quote, being honest in a deeply personal relationship, end of quote, mean to you? Why do you want this? C. Define intimacy. What does, quote, being intimate in a deeply personal relationship, end of quote, mean to you? Why do you want this? It is not for us to define or describe what an Ojai relationship is or should be for you. But out of this opening presentation, we expect that you will discover a new concept of relationship available to you. You have nothing to lose by fully participating in this presentation and reconsidering your present beliefs about your personal relationships and ways of communicating. For at the end, you can certainly return to your old beliefs, judgments, and relationships as usual, and your accusative ways of communicating as usual. And you certainly know what that has been like, don't you? How you truly feel about someone or your relationships tells you nothing about that person, reveals very little about your relationship, but speaks volumes about you, reveals how you are eternally companioned with yourself, and indicates the partnership you seem to desire. 1. Are you willing to live openly, honestly, and intimately with someone exactly like you? You'd best be willing and fully prepared to live with someone exactly like you, for since likes attract, whether or not you realize it or like it, the person you are most attracted to in a personal relationship is exactly like you. Oh, that person may look different and express differently, but in essence, you are alike. For example, though your partner may attempt to control and manipulate you through strong physical or verbal threats or abuse, you, even if quiet and submissive, are not a victim. For actually, in your compliant ways, you are attempting to covertly limit, control, and manipulate your partner. You are not so innocent in this. And events always reveal the self and life being lived, and frequently struggling against. There are no innocents in this because those who abuse always feel abused. And those who are abused are themselves, in different ways, abusers who are struggling with their desire and ability to control and limit others. Limit and control others. And events and circumstances, and no matter the situation or condition, all judgments of another are abusive. Do you want your existing or intimate partner exactly as he or she is right now, without any changes? If you want to change your partner, then obviously you do not want a relationship with this person. You want a union with your illusion. And if you want to change this person, how would you expect to have an open, honest, and intimate relationship? For it seems you want a union with this person only so you can change him or her. All control and manipulation in a relationship, just as innocently as we indicated in 1, remember, all judgments are abusive. 3. Is it ever fair to ask another person to do something for you which you are not willing to do for yourself? Though you have probably declared that this is certainly not fair or appropriate, yet every time you ask someone to change, such as arriving on time, going to church, being pleasant to your parents, or not leaving dirty floors, clothes on the floor, because of their actions bother you, this is unfair. Why don't you change and not be bothered? You want the other person to change to suit and please you, but you won't even change to please yourself by not being bothered by such actions. Is that fair? Yet you persist in wanting others to change to suit you. What was your answer to question two? Maybe you should look more closely at your own actions. Four. What do you expect to gain from an open, honest, intimate relationship? And what are you willing to put into this relationship? Though you probably believe otherwise, maybe because appearances frequently seem otherwise, everything you gain from a relationship is only what you put into it. For science correctly reveals that for every action there is a simultaneous equal and opposite reaction. Thus, each event is complete in itself. Nothing is ever caused, and nothing remains to be given in return. If you expect your union to satisfy, fulfill, and enrich you, you will be sadly disappointed, for you do not live in a relationship to gain your desires. Your relationship lives within you, or it is neglected there. Whatever you want from your relationship, you must give to your relationship. Five, do you equate intimacy with vulnerability? In other words, if you were to be genuinely open, honest, and particularly intimate with someone, would you in any way feel vulnerable to that person? If you feel vulnerable to someone with whom you are intimate, you will always protect yourself and never be open or honest or really intimate. Feelings of vulnerability indicate that you have been hiding and denying and unhonest and now feel you have something to lose. It's time to be open and honest and discover you have nothing to hide or lose. For if by being intimate you lose the relationship, it was not a union worth maintaining and nourishing. For why would you ever want a relationship in which you cannot be open or honest or intimate? And if you declare that you will continue with the relationship and really be open, honest, and intimate when you can completely trust your partner, understand this: by not being open, honest, and intimate, you will never trust and never have the life and relationship you desire, and that would truly be a loss. Six. Are your feelings heartfelt, emotions, and reliable? Can you trust your feelings? All feelings, heartfelt, emotions, are reactions, which are self-created long before an event even occurs. All events are broken down and stored in the brain in differentiated areas with similar memory parts. Then, later, when another event occurs, your thoughts search through its file of constituent memory parts, including previous feelings, emotions, physical sensations, and responses to properly distinguish and respond, understand respond. Understand new event or condition. Okay. Let me go back. Then later, when another event occurs, your thoughts search through its file of constituent memory parts, including previous feelings, emotions, physical sensations, and responses, to properly distinguish and respond.
It's a typo.
To what?
I don't know what it's supposed to say, though.
Let's see. Response is to properly distinguish and understand or respond to a new event or condition so you can react accordingly. I guess it's and understand the new event or condition.
Distinguish and respond and understand.
I mean, the general ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Respond, understand new event or condition so you can react accordingly. Thus, your emotional feelings, your reactions and responses today are based upon previous situations stored as memories and have little or nothing to do with the present event. From memories, you judge and then you react to those judgments. In other words, through this process, you are actually judging previous events and reacting to your own previous judgments. Therefore, your feelings and heartfelt emotions are not true and reliable and can never be trusted to properly advise you of present events and circumstances. All feelings are hardwired in your brain, but the inducers of emotions are not hardwired. However, as you are living a loner body, you are living a loner brain and a loner inducers. And loner inducers. 7. Now that you know from relationship 6 that all feelings are set before an event or condition ever occurs, what feeling would you truly like to present?
Preset
in your life and personal relationship and always live? If your answer is, for instance, quote, love, end of quote, then describe and discuss love and would reveal how you can know the loving thing to do in every situation. All love is unconditional, without any limitations, or it is not love. And since all judgments are limitations, love only exists without judgments. Remove judgments, and what remains is love. Therefore, in every situation, the loving thing to do is always be true to yourself and act, not react. Without judgments, because all reactions, no matter how, quote, right and loving, end of quote, they seem, are judgments that prevent you from being loving or true to yourself. In this same light, God, being constant and unconditionally loving, must never judge you or react. For judgments and reactions always destroy or forsake love. 8. If you met God, Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, or another master, and you felt love, would you be feeling his love or your own love? You would feel your own love, for you have to love to be love. You must give love just as these masters gave love, by enlivening others to their own love. Love is enlivening and loosed only in an action and environment free of judgment. In fact, creating an action and environment free of judgment is itself love. 9. Are you willing to forsake the feelings of love in order to be love, offer love, and have all the benefits of love? It is not success, happiness, enrichment, power, enlightenment, fame, or fulfillment you desire in life. You want the benefits that accompany these things, just as you want the benefits of love. But desiring to get the feelings of love and not being willing
But desire to get the feelings of love and not being willing to change your focus away.
Fourth line.
What number?
What
number?
Nine.
Fourth line.
Okay. Just as you want the benefits of love, but desiring to get the feelings of love and not being willing to change your focus away from yourself and feeling those feelings, and not being willing to end your judgments, you cannot be or have or offer love by enlivening others to their love. And in this, you lose your own love and all the benefits. The greatest and finest of which is living in an environment without judgment. The environment around you does not matter. What is vital is the environment you live in. Therefore, if you judge that others around you are judging you, you are living in the environment of your own judgments and loss of love. If, however, you do not judge those around you, despite their attitudes and actions, then you are living in a true self-created environment of love without judgments. 10. What are judgments? Are you attempting to discover what is right or good? You never judge what is right or good, only what you believe is unacceptable and in need of being judged, which means that you are actually judging your own judgments. In addition, since you never judge an action or condition or event, only your presumed consequences of these actions, all judgments are presumptions which blind you to the truth of what you are judging. In other words, when judging which sacrifices love, you are only judging your own judgments and presumptions and what you do not understand, since all judgments blind you to what you are judging and destroy understanding. Do any judgments make sense?
Well, guess not if you put it that way.
Eleven. What is acceptance? Acceptance is a measure of your unacceptance. For if you have to accept someone or his, her errors or feelings or weaknesses, then in judging that person or those seeming flaws that you have to accept, you haven't been very accepting, have you? If accepting is an issue in any way, know that you have not been accepting. And the degree to which you must accept someone or something reveals the extent of your judgments and unacceptance of that person or thing and of yourself. 12. I think this is a typo.
Yeah, I think so. If you...
If you... No, it should...
No.
I think...
If you met God.
If you're met God.
Oh, you.
You.
You. Yeah.
If you met God, Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, or another master, would that individual forgive you? Of course not. For such an enlightened individual would not take offense, judge you, or see anything you need to be forgiven for. 13. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is change. If you forgive someone for offending you but do not change and stop taking offense to the same or similar actions by that person or another, then you haven't forgiven that individual or yourself for taking offense, which means that forgiveness is also a measure of your unforgivingness. For the degree to which you must forgive someone indicates the extent to which you feel you were offended and not forgiving. Had you not taken offense in the first place, there would be no reason or need for forgiveness now. Look to yourself, not to the other person. 14. If you hurt someone physically or emotionally, or make a mistake that affects that person, and you are sorry for your actions, is it appropriate to ask them to forgive you? If you have, in one way or another, hurt or offended someone, or made a mistake, do not compound this problem by expecting that person to forgive your inappropriate behavior, and especially do not ask for forgiveness, for in doing this, you are asking that person to judge you in order to forgive you, which certainly continues and expands the original problem and mistake. If you want forgiveness, forgive yourself by changing, which means not continuing your previous behaviors. If someone forgives you, doesn't that lead you to feel that the original situation is complete and nothing more is required of you? Of course, but not so. If you are not sorry for your behavior, no forgiveness should be expected or ever ask for. And if you are truly sorry for your actions, then say so and change, but do not continue these behaviors with anyone. 15. Is criticism of another person ever valid or justified? You never criticize another, for your criticism is always of yourself. Yet you never criticize yourself, you only reveal yourself. You make all choices in life to serve yourself. And though the consequences may seem otherwise, that does not change the fact that your choices were made to serve you. Therefore, choosing to criticize someone is choosing to serve yourself. But what might it reveal about the self and life you are living that you choose to serve yourself through judging and criticizing others? And would you expect your personal relationships and communication to be much more than judgments, accusations, defensiveness, and criticism, counter-criticism? Is that the open, honest, intimate relationship and communication you desire? But isn't that what you've been creating and living?
Man, you're hitting them below the belt here.
A lot of these. This is really one of the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good presentation.
Interesting relationship.
Depends on how you answer the questions.
Yeah.
What was that?
It depends on how you answer the questions.
16. Do you have free will? Of course you do. For the universe has never forbidden you to believe a belief, think a thought, take an attitude, feel an emotion, speak a word, or act as you desire. In fact, the universe has always supported, without any exception, your belief, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions. This is free will. For you may choose and act as you truly desire, and you are fully supported in those choices. And though some religionists declare that free will is knowing good and evil and choosing goodness, this choosing goodness is a limitation that destroys free will. With pregnancy, you are either pregnant or you're not. Free will is the same, in that you either have complete free will or you have no free will. And any limitation to choose goodness surely destroys free will. Also, as your judgments destroy or forsake love, they also destroy or forsake free will. For every judgment is a limitation. Have you judged your love, free will, and abiding self away? What judgment could possibly be worth such a terrible loss? And if you are concerned that living your free will might result in undesirable judgments from others or from God, consider this. If you have free will, how can you possibly be judged? And if you do not have free will, how can you possibly be judged? Besides, unconditional love, even of self, prevents all real judgments. So don't you begin judging yourself. 17. Are all opportunities, choices, and decisions equal? Or are some greater, better, or finer than others? If some opportunities, choices, decisions are greater, better, or finer than others, then these beliefs and judgments as limitations destroy or forsake your free will and love. However, since your free will is revealed, assured, and supported, reread relationship 16. Make all choices as you truly desire, for then whatever your choices lead to, you will desire both the journey of your life and personal relationships and their destination. What more could you ask of yourself in life and desired relationships? If you still believe that some opportunities, choices, decisions are greater, better, or finer than others, then your constant and fruitless struggle to determine, judge the right thing to do, so you can live that, will result in a life and personal relationships fulfilled with judgment, doubt, and confusion, distrust, struggle, lack of free will, and loss of true love. Is that the self and life and personal relationships you desire? Are you willing to forsake an open, honest, intimate relationship in life merely to have your judgments? Choose wisely. 18. In your opinion, have you ever been a victim to anyone or anything in your life? For instance, has anyone ever made you angry, caused you unhappiness, or kept you from living and having your desires? Have environmental or genetic conditions ever caused your pains, illnesses, or disease? Have previous relationships ever made you happy or sad? You are not now and never have been abused by or made victim to anyone or anything in yourself and life. Victimization in any form destroys free will. Is maintaining your attitude of being abused or victimized by individuals or events worth the loss of your free will? Loss of free will. Or reread question and text at relationship 19. Is it possible that you create all things in your life as everyone does, yet no personal creation ever interferes with another's creation? Remember, if you do not create everything in your life, not merely your reactions to events, then you do not have free will, and you are a victim to what occurs. Do you want to continue living as a victim to life and to your personal relationships or lack of personal relationships?
Are we like moving? Oh,
okay. Thought we were losing people. Let's assume that a tremendous event occurs in your life, say a hurricane. This devastating event occurs in your life just as it does in your neighbor's lives. Yet you might make this an exciting adventure while your companions in the same house create this as a pleasant relief from an otherwise boring or common life. Your next door neighbor makes this, for her, a terrible, terribly inconvenient situation. Your friend across the street makes this storm a painful problem. And other neighbors make the hurricane a dreadful or terrifying event. The hurricane was the same throughout the neighborhood, yet each resident created and lived a completely different storm. This is not a different reaction to or different attitude toward the same hurricane, for each person reacted only to the storm he/she had created. Everyone, without interfering with companions or neighbors, applies free will to create the storm that best outpictures the self and life he/she is living. No one was a victim to or victimized by the hurricane. In fact, some neighbors may have sold their house days before the storm and moved away to create an entirely different outpicturing. And their moving out of the path of destruction was not an accident, a blessing of fate, or good luck. You never live the situation, circumstances, and individuals in your life or their absence. You live, experience emotional feelings about and respond to the events and conditions and relationships you create. The universe has an independent existence which all people draw upon to create their own self and life and existence. 20. Do you understand that you seldom, if ever, see and know others as they are, but only as you are? Explain this. Reread Relationship 6. As you carry previous events, feelings, and reactions in memories to draw upon understanding and responding to present relationships and situations, you use these same memories to create individuals and events in your life. Reread Relationship 19 and 10. As you desire them to be. Thus, all individuals and things in your life exist as you have created them, which is as you are. Only by ending your judgments and normal reactions can you begin to know others as they are. But even that knowing is colored and affected by yourself and life. Thus, all knowing is actually self-knowing. By focusing entirely upon another, you set aside your conscious awareness of self, your judgments, and your personal interference, and more clearly see and understand the other as he/she is. However, since life is defined as, quote, conscious awareness, end of quote, and to maintain your sense of being alive, you usually focus upon yourself and sacrifice knowing another as he/she is. Even in your personal relationships, you focus on yourself and others and lose the self-life relationship and benefits you truly desire, to have the open, honest, intimate relationship you dream of. You must surrender your constant focus upon yourself and your desires. Reread Relationship 9. Also, all judgments, even of another, maintain your focus upon self and destroy love. Reread Question 7. What sort of relationship, then, would you expect to have? Is this what you want? Well, it seems this is exactly what you have been living and struggling with. No relationship which you are not always willing to give up is ever worth having. Do you understand this? The only relationship worth having is one in which you can openly, honestly, intimately, and fully be and express yourself at all times. Of course, expressing your judgments, criticisms, accusations, and negative reactions is not your true self. If you have to concern yourself with your partner's reactions, these concerns alone will limit your openly, honestly, and intimately being and expressing yourself. For if, to save the relationship, you must hold back, then you will always prejudge your expressions. And though in this you might save the relationship, you have surrendered your true self in love. Does that seem wise? If you consistently prejudge your expressions and win the relationship but lose your true self in love, do you win or lose? Obviously, you lose. However, if you live openly, honestly, and intimately and lose your relationship, but win your true self and love, then you surely win. In this context, losing means ending the relationship or changing it and losing your relationship and limiting self as they were and expressing your true self means speaking of and acting from yourself.
Put a big circle around anything you change in that. Otherwise, she won't catch it when she's typing.
Okay.
Not accusing or talking about another or acting to entice or manipulate someone, but true to yourself, and you will always be true to the relationship. Also, see Communication 3. And 11. 22. If you cannot be happy in your present relationship, you will not be happy in any other relationship. The key word is cannot. Happiness is a way of life, not a goal or reward. And as a way of life, happiness does not depend on events, conditions, individuals, or relationships as a way of life. You can live happily in any relationship under all conditions, but you are not required to do so. If you leave or end a relationship because you cannot live happily with that partner, you are living your judgments and criticism, living yourself and life through conditions, withholding your true self and love, and destroying your happiness. Under these conditions, as your way of life, your next relationship will struggle with these or similar problems and undoubtedly suffer the same fate. If, however, you live your true self and happiness openly, honestly, and intimately without judgments, and choose a different relationship, then by continuing in these ways, your next relationship will be lovingly happy and fulfilling. Life does not reward you with loving relationships. You reward yourself by living and loving them. 23. What you do in one area of your life, you do in every area of your life. Your life is not what you do. It is how you do everything you do. Also read Communication 14. Therefore, though you do many things, each of which appears to be different, since all these things are common to you, they are actually common to each other. In other words, despite seeming contrary appearances, all of these things are, in one way or another, the same. As an extreme example, though it may seem that you are intensely loving in one situation with one person and equally indifferent later with another person, within these love indifference attitudes, indifferent attitudes and actions, a commonality of self is being expressed to different individuals at separate times. This commonality is the truth of you, which remains the same, though expressed differently in separate situations. If you judge individuals, events, and circumstances in one area of your life, you judge in every area, including in your personal relationships. 24. Do you understand that being responsible or to or for someone or something is irresponsible? Explain. What is the alternative? In being responsible to or for someone or something, your attention is upon the goal or consequence of your actions for which you believe you are responsible, and not upon the actions that emergently create those outcomes. But all judgments, even in attempting to create right and responsible outcomes, blind you to your own actions and what you are judging. Reread Relationship 10. Does any of this seem wise? Instead of focusing upon consequences in judging, pay full attention to your own behaviors and act responsibly. For then, the emergent consequences, whatever they may be, will be responsible and as you desire. What is selfishness? is itself concern. Since there is nothing you can do in a relationship or in life which is not relative to self, does this mean that you and all personal relationships are selfish? If not, explain. Science correctly states that for every action there is a simultaneous, equal, and opposite reaction, which reveals that you always and simultaneously get as you do, and also indicates that no matter what you want to have that, you must give that from yourself. If you want love or anything else in your relationship, you must be love and truly give love to your relationships and partner. Reread relationship 4, 9, 19, 21. The action of offering what you genuinely desire, though it is fully self-concerned, is not selfish. Instead of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, since you do not live what you want or do, but how you feel about what you want or do, communication 14. By offering others what you want for yourself, you simultaneously have what you desire and what you offer. By seeking love, you deny your love. By offering your love, you find and have your love. Selfishness is described as attempting to get from another what you are not willing to give yourself. Reread relationship 3. By offering that to another, selfishness is attempting to control or manipulate in one form or another others to give you what you want.
Can I give this to somebody?
Yeah.
My eyes
got your
eyes are crossed.
Are definitely.
These folks have electronic eyes. They should be okay.
Yeah, good. I'm about to need electronic eyes.
Which one was you?
26.
26. Thanks.
Do you understand that the only genuine gift is to give others what you truly want for yourself? Explain. To give another what you do not need, desire, or want is hardly a gift. In addition, a gift that does not include the giver is not a genuine gift. A true gift is to give another what you truly want for yourself. Reread relationship 4, 9, 19, 21, 24. And in that, you simultaneously have the gift and give the gift. Do you know what gift is? For instance, if you give someone a gift, is the gift the object you are offering or the love and friendship represented by the gift? A gift is the object, but if it does not include you in the form of your love or friendship, the object is not a true gift. Even if the gift is exactly what the receiver desires. If that gift does not include you in the form of love or friendship, it is not a true gift. Be certain that you are actually giving to others. Be sure of what you are actually giving to others, for that will be yours. And if you are not giving true gifts, you will not have true gifts for yourself. Many people complain that they give and give and give in their relationship and get little or nothing in return. These individuals do not realize that they are not truly giving, but are foolishly attempting to manipulate others to give them what they want. Reread relationship 3:4:25. In that, their gifts are hollow and on offer empty returns. Do you see that in their giving, these individuals withheld themselves? A gift may be offered plain or beautifully wrapped, But if it is wrapped in conditions with strings attached or securely tied up with demands or expectations, it is surely not a gift. 27. If you really understand that you only have what you truly give away, then you understand that what you have reveals what you have given. Explain. Since action and reaction are always simultaneously equal and opposite, reread relationship 4, 25, 26, you only have what you give to others. At the moment of giving, there are no future rewards or debts or karma, which is why it is vital that at all times you offer in life exactly and only as you desire for yourself. Do not expect to offer something to cause your desires, for nothing in life is or ever has been caused. All things are uncaused emergent miracles. Now, give to others does not mean that others must accept or take what you're offering, such as in giving and receiving a gift, for your receiving is simultaneous with your offering. It is vital that at every moment you put everything you have into what you are doing and offering, for in that you will be enrichingly fulfilled. Then, if you receive other benefits from your actions, you will have gained twice. Now we'll tell you in this short story about Leslie. Seeing Leslie's constantly fulfilling and enriching life, many people ask Leslie, "What's your secret?" We always have problems and afflictions and burdens in life. Life is usually disappointing and grievous, and we are constantly ill. Yet you always seem so happy and pleased and prosperous. Do you have a special gift? My gift is a promise, a true promise from my father. What is the promise? Tell us. Oh, please do, so we can also be happy and fulfilled and healthy. A long time ago, Leslie began, my father said, Leslie, you live life. If after putting everything that is within you into what you're doing, you feel you need even more, I promise I will always give you whatever you need. Then Leslie stopped and waited for the inevitable comments and questions. So you had a rich father. No wonder your life's so easy. Well, that's no special secret. I can have some of your money. Oh, can I have some of your money so I can be happy too? Did he give you anything else, Leslie? Where do I get a father like that? I'll trade mine for yours. As soon as they stopped talking, Leslie continued the story. Each one of you has a father, has the same father, and the same promise. That's foolish talk, Leslie. You haven't met my father, someone shouted from the group of listeners. Leslie answered, you haven't properly met your own father either. But let me tell you the rest of my story. From the very beginning, even as a small child, I listened to that promise and remembered it well. I taught myself many things, many wonderful things about life. Oh, I had burdens just like yours, and I learned many lessons and faced numerous hardships and a few illnesses. But through it all, at every moment, I always gave to life or to the person or situation I was facing everything inside of me I had to give. Though at times, I had to be very creative and dig deeply. And in some situation, I said, oh, I just don't think I have it in me at this time, but I'll try anyway. And I tried. Leslie stopped and smiled, remembering all the wonderful things that had occurred in her life. So is it some situation or some situations? Yes, what do you guys think? Yes? Okay, hang on just a second.
Some situation.
I thought so, but I just want to make sure in case it was referencing the one.
What happened? Did your father give you money to buy your way out of trouble? No, he didn't. But when I met my problem and truly tried to resolve it, and I put everything I had into it, I discovered even more within me. It was quite surprising, and I gained even more in return. So every time a hardship or an affliction arose, or a relationship began, or a problem was created, I put everything I could think of into that, and just a little bit more. and that settled the difficulty, healed the illness, nurtured the relationship, or created the circumstances that suited me quite well. And I was pleased and satisfied and enriched and fulfilled. And my life grew and grew and grew. And there was nothing else I ever needed to ask from life or from my father. And as I continued, always in this way, after many, many years, I finally understood what my father had done for me in saying, wow. Hang on. Shit. Hang on. Dear one, this is my promise. If you will give everything you have to life, and you still need more, I promise, at each and every instance, I will always give you exactly what you need and want. But remember, you must first give into unto life, to the relationship or the situation, all that you have. Did it work, Leslie? Did he give you what you wanted? What did you ask for? More money? No, I didn't, Leslie answered. Throughout my entire life, I've never once asked for anything. No. Oh, heck with that. Sorry, I can't get this to work. I was so busy putting all I had into life that I never burdened or lacked in any way. I never felt burdened or lacked in any way. I never felt there was anything else I needed to get back or needed to ask for. I was always fulfilled and happy. For you see, my father had given me the heart and soul of what I truly wanted most. He offered me the ability, an opportunity to put everything I had into life. And he gave me the assurance and confidence to continue in every situation. And as long as I no longer expected to gain from life or get things back until I exhausted all I had within me, I continued putting more and more and more into life. And the more I did that, the more I gained. The more I gained, the more I learned I had. And the more I learned I had, the more I put into life. And the more I put into life, well, dear ones, the more I had.
Could you just read this next one and I'll take it back over for you?
Oh, it's been quite a successful and wonderful life for me. And your life may be much the same, for our Father sent me to remind you of his promise to each one that after putting everything you have within you into life, if you need something more, he will give that to you. But remember, you must first put everything you have within you into life. Withhold nothing.
Since, dear reader, you have simultaneously what you have given, what you have reveals exactly what you, in essence, have given. Is this an intermission page here, 370? Throughout the presentation, we have constantly spoken of love and being loving in the usual way and manner you normally have heard so you would understand, but you don't understand, because no one has ever stopped to describe what love might be. We are using love and discussing Leslie's putting everything she has into every situation before being given more. Can you see that everything you have includes being and living as an eternal abiding being, and only doing what you would be willing to be and do eternally, and have done or given eternally to you? If so, you must also see then that love and being loving is being loving as an eternal abiding being, for that is truly a vital aspect of you that you have put into every situation and relationship. And that is love, and being unconditionally loving. Love is being and living as an eternal abiding being. Nothing you do as a loner being is truly loving. No, sure. And as you give a gift, no matter what that may be, If you do not give it as an eternal abiding being, it is not a true gift, nor is it loving. If, as the Dalai Lama declares, the whole of life is and is about love and compassion, since compassion is the understanding of suffering and the concomitant desire to alleviate that suffering, then living as an eternal abiding being and helping others live as the eternal abiding being they desire is the whole of love and compassion. And in that, you are helping them be and live the whole of themselves. Everything else pales by comparison, for nothing you do as a loner being is truly loving. Signed, Hothir. 28. Describe your image of God. It is not for us to reveal what your image of God might be or should be. That is for you to decide upon and describe. However, if you said things like, God is unconditionally loving, fully supportive, or all-powerful, indicate what God is doing or how he is expressing his being unconditionally loving, fully supportive, or all-powerful. Though you may not understand it now, your image of God is a vital aspect in determining the personal self and determining your personal self and intimate relationship. 29. Describe your greatest and grandest self-image. 30. Describe your present self-image. 31. Do you understand that the universe has no meaning and purpose, and that your own universe has no meaning or purpose? Why is this so? If the universe has meaning and purpose, you cannot be loving or have free will. Reread relationship 16. Simply because having to participate in that universal meaning and purpose places a limit upon you and your life, and thus destroys your love and free will. And if you do not have love and free will, your life in the universe and personal relationships are completely meaningless. And the same is true if your own universe has meaning and purpose. Now, being free of all this meaning and purpose, you truly desire... Now, being free of all meaning and purpose you truly desire in your life and personal relationships. I don't understand that sentence.
Me neither.
Read the damn sentence.
Now, number 31, near the bottom. Now, being free of all meaning and purpose you truly desire in your life and personal relationships, and that is love and free will that is truly meaningful and purposeful.
See, that didn't hurt. Why did you not want to read that sentence?
You have to read it with the proper flow. If you don't.
But you didn't want to read it.
That must be it.
Read it again so we can hear what it was you didn't want to read.
Mm-hmm. And if you do not have love and free will, your life in the universe and personal relationships are completely meaningless. And the same is true if your own universe has meaning and purpose. Now, being free of all meaning and purpose you truly desire in your life and personal relationships, and that is love and free will that is truly meaningful and purposeful, you are free to live and love as you truly desire. Thirty-two. Explain how becoming one with God, one with your higher self, or becoming an abiding being keeps you feeling separate from God or your higher self and being an abiding being. Though you may not understand this, know that anything or person you can become one with, you are already one with. But being unaware of or denying this keeps you feeling separate, trying to become one. No matter how close you are to God, your higher self and being, an abiding being, at the last instant, to become one, you must stop keeping yourself feeling separate, which you can do at this very moment, and immediately know and consciously live your oneness with God and your higher self. and with being an abiding being. 33. What is a goal? Contrary to your beliefs and teachings, do you see that setting goals as normally pictured and advised is detrimental and fully enriching self and life? Though you've always been told to set your goals and achieve them, this advice is inappropriate. If you want enriching self and life and a fulfilling personal relationship for light love, what you really want are the benefits of an enriching life, self, and personal relationship. Reread Relationship 9, which are already part of you. By setting goals out there of what you want, you deny your present abidingness with all things and limit access to these benefits within you. Reread Relationships 32.
Yo, I'll take over that one.
Thanks.
If you do not realize these things and sense your abidingness and know what is within you and continue setting goals out there, whether real or imagined, you will constantly judge all things and actions which seem to lead you to that goal as good and everything else in one way or another as bad, which blinds you to the real and keeps you struggling to what is real and keeps you struggling to judge what you do not understand. Reread Relationship 10. Destroys your free will. Reread Relationship 16. Maintains your physical, mental burdens and doubts and keeps you emotionally confused and upset. Are any out there goals worth such a terrible price? Life offers you many other alternatives to setting out there goals, one of which is to set the goal, no matter how small or large, upon your self-image, and expand your self-image in this way. For instance, if you want to become a doctor, lawyer, preacher, or a writer, instead of setting goals such as going to school, getting training, and being licensed, or seeking various signs of becoming, say, a doctor, begin immediately visualizing yourself as a doctor and living as a doctor, following procedures that lead you to being a licensed doctor. This brings the out there goal home to you immediately where it belongs, for you to be and live and expand, not to become. And through this process, you will immediately discover attitudes, abilities, and opportunities within and all around you, which by setting external goals to attain to would seldom be recognized. Another alternative is to immediately consider the benefits you desire from being a professional and live them. See Communication 14. For instance, if you want to be a doctor to help people and be happy, you can live your happiness right now and at every moment, for being a doctor will not, in itself, cause or bring you happiness. Read Relationship 34. Besides, if you are living happily and still decide to be a doctor, you will not find any drudgery in your study and training. Do not set goals, be them, and live them. 34. Assuming that you want happiness in your life and relationships, describe what happiness is to you and what you desire. If happiness rests upon what you do or have, how do you know you will be happy? Isn't it likely that happiness based on such achievements or rewards will be temporary and quickly deteriorate? Can you think about everlasting happiness? What might that look like to you? Are you willing to live your everlasting happiness, even if it seems you must sacrifice temporary desires? Read Communications 14. Happiness is not a goal or a relationship you must achieve or attain to, nor is it what you have. Happiness is the way you live, the way you express and apply yourself, and the way you use all you possess.
explain this. Though you say you understand this about happiness, you constantly struggle to attain happiness, to be happy, which keeps you forever denying the happiness trying, your happiness trying, sadly, to attain your desire. Reread Relationships 32, 33. For happiness does not come to you, nor is it a reward. You live your happiness or forsake happiness. Relationship 34, Communications 14.
I imagine you can skip those references.
Okay. By setting happiness as a goal, such as becoming a doctor or finding the right relationship, you intensify your judgments, struggle unhappily to attain that goal, withhold happiness because you have not achieved your happiness goal, and forsake much of the happiness within you and your personal relationships. And then, when you do achieve or attain your happiness goal, are you likely to be happy? Only for a moment of attainment, and or for a short time afterwards. But then, if you want to continue your happiness, since you consider happiness to be a goal or a reward, you will have to set another happiness goal and struggle unhappily to reach a new goal, or find someone or something to reward you with happiness. Does this sound like the ups and downs and including disappointments of your life? Though you may not believe this, since you always choose an act to serve yourself, you are always living your happiness. Therefore, what do you suppose your feelings of sadness and unhappiness reveal about the self and life you are choosing and living? Are you willing to make finer choices? Is it possible that you are sad and unhappy about the happiness you have chosen to be and live? 36. Describe the image you have of the intimate personal relationship you desire. What is the purpose of that relationship? It is not for us to reveal what relationship you might or should have. That is for you to decide, describe, and live. However, if your description uses such words as loving, fulfilling, enriching, comforting, supportive, indicate how you want those things expressed in your personal relationships. Are you living and expressing in these ways? If not, why not? 37. Describe the intimate personal relationship you want to eventually create and live. What is the purpose of this relationship? 38. Describe the ultimate intimate personal relationship you feel is possible for you. What is the purpose of this relationship? 39. Is it possible that trying to become one with your present personal relationship keeps you forever separate within your personal relationship? And will you do the same in the finest personal relationship you desire? Explain, what alternatives do you have?
Are you guys getting anything out of this, or is this just an exercise in reading?
Oh, I'm getting a lot.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah. I've got this marvelous thing going on that's relating all over the place as I'm reading. All attempts to become one with someone in a relationship keeps you separate. Being one with someone is very intimate, which most people, no matter their declarations and seeming desires, are reluctant to be involved in, simply because they are fearful of losing themselves in that intimacy. And though many people constantly express a desire for a relationship in which they can truly be themselves, unfortunately, this usually means being in a union in which they can express their individuality separate from the personal relationship. However, it is only in communion, not oneness, such as in an open, honest, intimate union in which they can actually experience and live their true self. Do you want to know and live your true self? Though becoming one with or within a personal relationship is much the same as becoming one with God or your higher self, In a personal relationship, this problem takes on an added difficulty that through intimacy with your partner, you feel you will be especially vulnerable. And as a result, even if you have a very personal relationship, you are unlikely to be truly open, honest, and intimate until you feel you can completely trust your partner. But by not being open, honest, and intimate, you will never truly trust your partner. And no matter the basis of your relationship or how personal that appears to be, you will continue to be and live, to one degree or another, your closed, secretive self, also known as individuality. Boy, do I know that. Your own untruthful or dishonest beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, and expressions, and your false intimacy, possibly hoping that you will reach a state of complete trust. But by creating such an uncertain and destructive environment in a relationship, how would you ever expect to trust one another? If you finally reach some semblance of trust in your relationship, to create an experienced, open, honest, intimate relationship and oneness with a partner, you will have to change your old beliefs, attitudes, habits, and lack of trust, which were all adopted to protect you, and give you a sense of safety and security. Are you willing to sacrifice your safety and security for oneness in a relationship? 40. Assuming you want an open, honest, intimate relationship, what is the purpose of this relationship? Why do you want such a relationship? If your answer to this question includes something for the relationship to do or to achieve, then having set this purpose as a happiness goal, the individuals involved and the relationship will constantly struggle with all the problems described. Purpose is a way of life, not a goal. Therefore, if your answer is written as a goal to live or accomplish, reconsider an answer and rewrite it in the comments column as a process or a way of life. And if your purpose includes words such as joyous, helpful, or faithful, or phrases such as comfort, support, and love each other, describe what you believe is joyous, helpful, faithful, comforting, supportive, or loving. For this will enliven your purpose and passion within you, enable you to communicate clearly with your partner, and help you see and understand how well the partners of this relationship will unite and function together. Without this unified vision and functioning, your relationship will drift and wander until the partner with the strongest personality controls or directs the relationship, while the other partner merely supports or struggles against that partner. Is that the relationship you want? A dominant partner is frequently established by financial educational concerns. For instance, relationships established to support one partner's continued medical education, while the other puts her desires on hold, frequently fall apart simply because the active partner grows beyond and into different interests than the other. A united relationship purpose must uphold both partners, so each feels actively supported, enriched, and fulfilled. A similar mistake is for one partner to forsake his/her life desires and purpose in order to raise children. For this frequently results in expressed or concealed resentments. A relationship that does not unite to support or fulfill and enrich both partners will not last. But if it does continue, it will usually be full of dissension, disagreements, and constant arguments as the partners struggle against each other. This also occurs during and after the children are essentially raised or one partner is more involved. A united, fully enriched purpose as a way of life is a vital aspect of an open, honest, intimate relationship. But unfortunately, individuals caught up in the emotions of and desire for a personal relationship seldom speak openly, honestly, intimately about what they truly desire to put into relationship, which clearly reveals what they can expect to gain. Such individuals eagerly desire a union, usually reveal only that what they want to gain or get out of a relationship, and they seldom even are seldom even honest about that, which later frequently results in one partner attempting directly or indirectly to control and manipulate the other to gain satisfaction. If you are now in or have ever been in such a relationship, then you know full well that it is not now nor and will never be truly open, honest, or intimate, or even desirable. Without a uniting purpose or relationship, without a uniting purpose, a relationship will, at best, be two people living individual lives, which, if this is what you desire, is fine. But such relationships are never open, honest, or intimate. If you feel that a uniting purpose will take away some of your individuality, independence, and free will, you will never be open, honest, or intimate, or have such a relationship or union. If you expect a relationship to shield you from your fears and keep you safe and secure, neither you nor the relationship will be open, honest, and intimate. And any uniting purpose based on such actions and or expectations will fail. Yet if you are willing to end your judgments, you will quickly discover that the goodness and benevolence of all things will fully protect you.
Coach, taking you out. good session. Good inning. You gotta go. I'm happy to read unless Susan wants to read. I don't want to hog all the glory.
I can't read. I can't believe you wrote all this stuff. It's just so...
All in one
so
day.
Much good stuff, boy.
Yeah, just took an hour.
Yeah, right? Just a couple hours. Just off the top of my head. Probably need to draft. Boy. A second draft. 31.
Which way are you going?
31. Oh.
31.
31. If you had to choose between a personal relationship with a truly exciting and satisfying sexual partner whose other interests seem different than yours, or one with a good friend with genuinely compatible interests, activities, and forms of expression, but you did not find that person sexually arousing and satisfying, which would you choose and why? If you base your decision of a union on sexual arousal, remember the stirring and passionate emotions awakened and satisfied at the beginning of the union easily conceal many faults and problems and undesirable aspects of both individuals. It's as though with or from the emotional arousal, both individuals are struck deaf, dumb, and blind. But this chemical arousal within your body will quickly subside, and you'll be left with someone who seems to be a stranger, simply because, in the beginning, you are not listening, thinking, or seeing clearly, or being honest, and the faults or problems which were ignored or lessened in your aroused state now have to be faced and dealt with in the dawning of a new day, and in the beginning of an entirely different partner and relationship than you believed you were joining. Sexual arousal and gratification can quickly become self-deceiving.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Until.
Okay. Many individuals deceptively use sexual gratification as a way to get their physical or emotional needs and desires satisfied. In that, both partners deceive and are easily self-deceived. And any union formed on this basis will create a relationship in which both individuals are seeking to get their own needs and desires met, which will quickly drain the union and individuals involved of enriching vitality.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, but it's still fun.
Until.
You guys just keep that up every passage.
The chorus.
If you will not give up temporary pleasures for fulfilling satisfaction at the beginning of a personal relationship, and you form a union based on those early emotions, you will not make long-lasting and or fulfilling decisions later. and you will not have the open, honest, intimate relationship or self and life you genuinely desire.
Yeah, but it was fun.
Until.
It's a great performance. It is vital that you do not confuse sexual gratification with long-term emotional pleasure and satisfaction, or with lifelong fulfillment. For sexual desire and excitement is far easier to arouse than creating a mutually compatible and enriching union, which supports a passionately fulfilling
self. Once aroused, boy, it's fun.
Once aroused, boy, it's fun. We're running to the end of this one, Roger. You're not going to be able to say that anymore.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Until. Okay. Now I got to start that over. It is vital for you that you do not confuse sexual gratification with long-term emotional pleasure and satisfaction, or with lifelong fulfillment. For sexual desire and excitement is far easier to arouse than creating a mutually compatible and enriching union, which supports a passionately fulfilling self and life. Are you willing to forsake such a relationship, life, and self for a relationship of sexual gratification? For however long that may last, for though it seems otherwise...
While it has fun. While this one.
For though it seems otherwise, or you hope otherwise, your original sexual arousal, though it was fun, will not continue in any relationship based on those feelings.
I'll get back to you on that.
Based on those feelings, will never be open, honest, or intimate. And when each one's sexual arousal is satisfied and fades, as it surely will, your relationship will be based on arousal and satisfaction. Again and again and again. Is that the open, honest, intimate relationship you truly desire?
Yeah, but it's fun.
No, but it's fun. And that was the until.
42. As a way of life, what is your purpose? Do you really know? And if you don't know, how could you ever, except by luck, choose a partner with whom to unite in an open, honest, intimate relationship which will serve your life's purpose? If you believe you do not know yourself or your purpose, but must discover them in this life, then every event and relationship will be one of constant searching. Is that what you want to endure? And if you do not know yourself or your purpose in life, how would you ever expect to find them? For if you do not know yourself and purpose, you would not recognize them if you found them. Oh, you know yourself and purpose all right, but you probably have been denying that, knowing for many lifetimes, searching deeply within everything you know of yourself and search deeply within everything you know of yourself and deny nothing.
Mr. Is the spacing in these sections intended this way? Is this...
The spacing is to answer the question.
Yeah, okay. Right. Some have space, some don't.
I forgot the spacing on one before.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the spacing on this one here.
Oh, okay. So just checking. All right.
I say, space.
Just checking. 43. Never compromise. How is this compatible with an Ojai relationship and communication? No relationship, 44, no relationship you are not always willing to give up is ever worth having. If you are constantly protecting your relationship, you will not and cannot be open, honest, or intimate.
See, that one needs no space because it's not a question. That's just a statement.
Previously, we indicated that no relationship you are not always willing to give up is ever worth having. This does not mean to abandon the relationship or to be indifferent. It means to always be yourself and always choose the relationship. For if you are not willing to always be your abiding self and choose the relationship, then it certainly isn't worth having or maintaining, is it? For instance, if you want to see a movie and your partner wants to go to the opera, which would you choose? Although you might think that being true to yourself is insisting upon seeing the movie, this is not so. If the relationship is worth having, being true to yourself is choosing the relationship with your partner at the opera. If you insist upon seeing the movie or working out at compromise, you show your partner that the movie is more important than your partner or the relationship, and you risk losing your abiding self and the relationship. Interesting. The abiding self, looking at it from abiding self, makes that, to me anyway, it seems like it makes it clearer and easier. I mean, you may want the movie of the moment, but when you look at it from a long-term or eternal perspective, it's
well, that's what we used to call it, the big picture.
Yeah.
And now you understand what we were meaning by the big picture.
Yeah. I mean, bringing that self to a relationship changes the whole relationship.
Well, I imagine that that's probably a pretty good place to stop for the evening.
524 pages were got through. About 100 pages left, but some of them.
How many 600 pages?
Well, we have tomorrow. At least some of us.
Some
do.
Of us have tomorrow.
Yeah.
The rest may never know.
They have to read it by themselves.
But it was fun, but still, yeah.
Until.
They had to go. Actually, I think it's interesting you guys put Asava and Javala in here. I didn't know that was in here until just recently.
There was supposed to be acupuncture too, but it was never gotten to us.
Jennifer? Oh, no kidding.
No, I was going to put in traditional Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
More than acupuncture.
Okay. Acupuncture was a part of it.
Interesting.
That would be
we might get it written yet and add it to.
What a document.
You got yourself enough information there, Susan?
Yeah.